This is a production of Cornell University.
All right, so with that, everyone, 4:32 p.m., the new start of the UA for this semester. Thank you all for being so kind about my class. So officially 4:32 p.m., Tuesday, May 11th, 2021, hitting this gavel for the last time to start a meeting with you all. We are in session. Thank you, everyone, for coming. I am going to start with asking Casey to take roll call.
Valerie Amer.
Present.
Ishichiku Kerry. Hehe Depew.
Present.
Nicola Danev.
Present.
David Dunham.
Present.
Jacob Feit. Brennan Fortenberry.
Present.
Thomas Fox.
Present.
David Heiner. I believe I saw his name on this list, but I'll double check. Alex Hong.
I saw him come in, David, but I'm looking for him. Let me check. David's here.
Awesome. Alex Hong. Robert Howarth. Catherine Huang. Logan Kenny.
Present.
Caroline Levine.
Here.
Jeff P.
Here.
Bennett Scher. Lucas Smith.
Present.
Charles Van Loan.
Here.
Paula Thompson.
Here.
Jessica Withers.
Here.
All right, Casey, I think that we've...
14.
Oh, Deborah, as per your message, you will be on roll call after this meeting adjourns. But welcome. I was going to welcome you all. Great to see you. Casey, I'm just going to quickly confirm. We have quorum, but we do not have 2/3, correct? Based on those numbers. Jacob is now coming into the meeting. I just admitted him.
I believe...
Jacob, I've got you down for attendance.
Thank you very much. I apologize. I couldn't find the link in time.
I hope we do have quorum because we have 13.3 is 2/3.
Okay.
14. So.
And Jacob, sorry to put you on the spot off record again, but can you message Bennett and
absolutely.
thank you very much.
No worries. No worries.
Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to keep moving forward. Casey, you said that we do have 2/3, so it sounds like we should be able to vote on the charters, the 2 charter resolutions if it comes to a vote. So thank you for confirming that. The next item is our land acknowledgement, so I'm going to read that. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayagono, the Cayuga Nation. The Gayagono are members of the Haudenosaunee, oh my gosh, I'm sorry everyone, I still can't get it, Confederacy, an alliance of 6 sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Gayagono disposition and honor the ongoing connection of Gayagono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. So something that I wanted to do before we officially start the meeting is, unfortunately, we have had another death in our community, and I would like to acknowledge Philip Zakowski, who was set to graduate in 2023 and in arts and sciences. So I ask that, again, we hold a moment of silence and have that be in remembrance and respect to his family and friends. All right, thank you all. I know it's been a really hard semester and it's very hard to hear about these. And I'm glad we are able to provide a space where we can honor the lives of Cornellians that we've lost, but it's also heartbreaking to lose Cornellians. I am going to move forward by, it's not on the agenda, but I was trying to put it on there. Just a short, sappy speech from me. It'll be really quick, I promise. I just wanted to say that, well, first, I'd like to welcome all of the new members of the University Assembly. I don't think you'll be disappointed in your decision to serve in this capacity. It has been something that I have treasured. And I started here as a lowly 1L first-year law student, not knowing anything, and learned from Charlie and many other people, including Richard Bensel and Jeff P., just what it meant to be a part of shared governance at Cornell. And I'm incredibly grateful. And I went from a very, very quiet person who barely spoke to a fireball last year who you couldn't get to stop speaking, to the chair, who I like to think is like a quirky, level-headed person at most points. And I will always be so, so grateful for this body, for the beautiful debate. It's been an honor to debate with all of you in such a respectful manner, and also to like agree and then agree to disagree, but have it just be a space of like love and just community. And that's what shared governance is about. And I'm going to leave it at that. I am so grateful to have been your chair. I am so thankful that you all elected me. And I am going to also acknowledge and thank every single person here who has contributed to shared governance, to everyone that's graduating, moving on with their career, et cetera. Like, I wish you the absolute best of luck. It has, like I said, just been absolutely wonderful working with everyone. I can't say a negative thing about anyone in the room. So I think that's saying something. And I think that we've accomplished a lot. 30 resolutions in one academic year. I don't know that a university assembly has done that in maybe ever, but not in my 3 years. So I'm so, so grateful for that. And I am looking forward to the next group. Oh, David, you've got your hand up.
Finish what you're going to say first.
I don't even know. I lost it because you put your hand up. So go ahead.
All right, I'm sorry about that. I was going to say this at the end, but I think since you're making these statements now, I thought I'd just say that, speaking on behalf of many of us, thank you for your leadership of the UA this year. And we really appreciate all the efforts you've taken to make this a very productive place to work and welcoming for everyone. So thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, David. As you know, that means a lot coming from you. I look up to you in a professional standpoint where you are the calm to my chaos sometimes, and you have helped me so much. So yeah, that means a ton. And yeah, thank you everyone, just truly. It has been an innovative, different year, and I am so, so proud of everything that we've accomplished. And I'm gonna stop getting sappy and keep moving on. Like I said, it's bittersweet. It's very sad. I'm gonna shout out Casey. I don't know what I had it on my notes, but thank you so much, Casey, for everything. You have been the rock of our group, and we are all so appreciative. And I know sometimes you're silent and you only speak in the beginning, but like the behind the scenes work, like you are a superstar. And thank you to Gina and Wendy in the assembly's office. And now I won't give this sappy message at the end. So I'm gonna keep us moving forward. The first item on the agenda, and thank you for the chat messages, Nick and Brandon, that's really sweet. I really appreciate it. It's been a pleasure. Approval of the minutes is the first item of the day. So we have the May 4th, 2021 minutes. I think you all have had sufficient time to review them, but I'm opening the floor for any discussion or a motion.
I'll motion to approve the minutes.
Motion to second. Approve, Nick. I'm sorry, second by Pilar.
Yes.
Okay, great. And then any quick discussion? Seeing none, if it's all right, I'm going to hold this one by unanimous consent. So if you have any issues with the minutes, please speak out now and we can address those. Or I guess it would be vote no. All right, seeing none, the May 4th, 2021 minutes have been approved. So starting with business of the day, I'm not sure that I have to give away chairship for this unless there's big discussion. So I'm just going to open up with Resolution 24, which is making the University Assembly Charter gender neutral. That was changing. Sorry, I know I should have this up already. And I should know this section by heart because 3 years on the UA, I should have it all memorized, I think. So that is changing section 5.3C of the charter. And that's saying that after the floor is closed for nominations for a specific officer position, only one candidate is nominated to be an officer. They will be seated immediately unless a member of the assembly opposes the nomination. So the change there, that was the be it therefore resolved. I should have mentioned that. Section C, 5.3C currently reads he or she will be seated immediately. So the only change is just they to make it gender neutral for individuals who do not associate with the terms she or he. So if there are questions, I will give the floor to Pilar since I am the only sponsor on this resolution. But the floor is open, yeah, for questions. And if questions happen, Pilar, you have the floor. If a motion happens, I think I can continue chairing. I see two hands raised. So Nick, is it a question?
It's a motion.
Okay.
Can I?
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, yeah, okay. So I'd like to motion that we call the question on this since I don't think we really need to discuss it. It's I think we have to unanimously adopt it. That's the only appropriate pathway to take.
Is there a second to Nick's?
Yep,
a second.
I'd like to second that.
How many seconds? I see Valerie highlighted, so I'm going to go with Valerie. I think that Valerie, Pilar, and Jacob all seconded at the same time, but I'm giving Valerie the second because that was very clear for me to at least see. So is there any discussion before the vote? And then Casey, I know that I'm being annoying. I just want to confirm one more time that, can you let me know if I potentially have, if I would have to vote?
I believe you would because you make 14 rather than 13.
Okay.
13.3. So
this needs to be unanimous. Okay. So we currently only have 14 people in attendance and we need 14 for this to pass.
I think I would check with Gina on that front because I'm not sure if you need the majority at all. Is Gina here?
Can I call a point of order?
Yes, please.
Yes, you need 2/3 of the seated members, which is everyone in attendance today.
Okay, the charter says seated members rather than of the entire assembly.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, and, okay. And by my understanding, you can cast a vote as president and chairing the meeting. I don't think there's any rule saying that it can only be to break ties or something like that. So I think it's okay.
Okay, so it's just 2/3 of the 14 here today.
No, two thirds
of everyone that has a seat on the assembly, or in other words, all 14 of us that are present today.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So is anyone opposed to me doing this by roll call so that I prefer to abstain from resolutions, especially ones that I wrote? So I would like to just be in the position that if I have to break a tie that I vote. So is anyone opposed to, I know that it's been wonky how we've cast votes, but me doing this by roll call.
Point of order. So you would have to cast a vote for this to be adopted, right? Because if there are 14, including you. Right.
But I thought it was 2/3 of the 14.
It's 2/3 of the 20, which is 14.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Okay, so we need everyone. All right, so I am going to still, if it's all right with everyone, do this by roll call, because I think that it's been a bit confusing with the check marks disappearing based on how people do that. So if that's all right, I'm going to do that for everything today, unless somebody opposes. Okay, seeing none. Casey, I am putting you a little more to work today than usual. Very appreciative.
Valerie Amer?
Yes.
Hayden Depew?
Yes.
Nicola Danev?
Yes.
David Dunham?
Yes.
Jacob Veit?
Yes.
Brendan Fortenberry?
Yes.
Thomas Fox?
Yes.
David Heiner?
Yes.
Caroline Levine?
Yes.
Jeff P?
Yes.
Lucas Smith?
Yes.
Charles Van Loan?
Yes.
Paulette Thompson?
Yes.
Jessica Withers?
Yes.
Logan Kenny?
Yes.
All right. And I believe that's actually 15 because someone came in.
Oh, interesting. Someone came in.
would you like to vote? Would you like to?
I would love to abstain if that's all right, Casey. Yeah, thank you very much for telling me that. Casey, could you also tell me who came in?
Jacob Veit. Welcome.
Okay. It was before he came in that we did the numbers. Okay. Thank you. Jacob, by any chance, do you know if Bennett is coming?
I texted him. He is yet to respond.
Okay, thank you.
Give him a call if you'd like.
Yeah, I would love that just because I'm noticing that the undergraduates are two, yep. I believe. So it would be nice to have your constituency represented at the last
meeting. Absolutely. Day.
Okay, I'm still going to keep moving on to... Also, thank you for everyone that voted for that. I think that it's really important that our charter reflects changing times and that nobody is ever made to feel uncomfortable by language in our charter. So I think that that's a big and wonderful change for us. The next one, I am going to hand over power to Pilar because I believe that this is going to have discussion. So Pilar, if you would please take over chairship for resolution 25.
Sure thing. We're going to move forward with resolution 25, precluding constituent leaders from serving on the UA executive board or as chairs of standing committee UR25 addendum. Do you need me, Casey, can you get this up or do you need me to share the screen to have it up?
I currently don't have it pulled up, so you could. Or if you would rather, I can find it pretty easily.
I can also do it, let's see.
Okay, I have it pulled up if you'd like me to share.
Oh. No, good then. We both did it. We both have it up. Okay, everyone, this is resolution 25. It is sponsored by Logan Kelly, Nicola, Jacob, Bennett. If we can have Logan, Jacob, or Bennett, please be ready to speak for the resolution.
Yeah, so... Pilar, if I could have the floor. Sorry, I'm so used to talking out of order. I apologize for not raising.
Logan, you have the floor. No worries.
Thank you for recognizing me, Madam Chair. So this is a resolution that serves to preclude the constituent presidents and chairs from serving on the University Assembly Executive Board so that we have diversity across the five assemblies. And then also included were chairs of standing committees to try to eliminate the possibility of those individuals having to wear two different hats sometimes as well. I know that there was a lot of debate about this resolution, so I think that there are likely going to be amendments and more discussion. So I know that I spoke more about this last week. That's just a very, very brief recap of it. If anyone needs more information, questions are open.
Could I ask a procedural question?
Nicola, go ahead.
Is David's addendum going to be passed together with the resolution or separately? Because if the sponsors are willing, I am willing to add it to the resolution and then just have one vote on it, I'd be happy to do that.
David?
I was going to explain that. So the addendum is not meant to be passed with this resolution. It is meant to, because I don't think that it can just be combined with this resolution because it deals with an entirely different bylaw amendment, and this is amending the charter. And, you know, we'd have to postpone it, and there's not enough time to do that. I wanted to offer it as a alternative way to that we could go about having oversight of the standing committees in a way that wouldn't need to make restrictions on who could be the committee chair, right? So, I mean, if I, that's just to answer your question. I am going to make a motion for an amendment to this, but I just wanted to answer that question first, that it is more by the way of illustration than to actually be adopted today or anything.
So if there are call to question, if there's any no questions and open discussion, or David, go ahead and present your.
Okay. All right. So I hate to kind of be a thorn in the side about this because I think I'm probably the only like sole dissenting voice on this resolution. So I'm sure you could pass this without my support. But I wanted to offer an amendment to kind of as a compromise to take out the language on the standing committee chairs and only exclude presidents from being on the executive board. So here's the language, which I'll post in the chat. Amendments to lead or as chair of a standing university assembly standing committee from lines 31 to 32 and line 40. So, I mean, I won't rehash my arguments from before, but my only concern in taking up this is that I believe it's a very real possibility that in the future, there will be vacancies in committee chairs in which the president of one of the constituent assemblies is the best qualified person to step up for it. And we don't want to leave that vacant and prevent the committee from doing their work because we're afraid of the conflict of interest. Instead, what I would propose and encourage next year's assembly to do is to take up something kind of like the addendum resolution, which I asked to be attached to the agenda, which would require for the committee chairs to present written reports on their activities to the assembly and allow us to actually see and question the minutes from the meeting to see official correspondence like emails, things like that, which might prevent the sort of overreach which we kind of saw in the past and which seems to be, this resolution seems to be reacting against. So anyway, I'll stop there and I present that.
Thank you, David.
Yeah.
Brandon.
Thank you, Pilar. I really understand the initiative behind this, and I also applaud David for looking at another approach. I think that there are those real possibilities, whereas the person who's coming in as this leader within the assemblies would be a best fit for chairing a committee, and or there could be a lack thereof. I know committee chairship is a commitment. And it takes time and energy, and there are times where it can be challenging to get folks to step up, and you could have somebody that is the right fit, the right person, and able to do that effectively. And I think what David has put together here is a good way to create a checks and balances, which actually, in all honesty, I think is should be in place regardless of the situation, like having these committee reports. Mm-hmm. I've been doing the CJC committee, and really you rely on me to give you those updates, but they're at the meeting, and then they're through my voice as opposed to a singular sort of document that really outlines what the committees are doing. So if there was ever a question or concern, that folks have the ability to see that. So I think that the addendum that David's put together is very thoughtful and impactful, and I would encourage folks to consider that as an approach to addressing this concern.
Logan?
Thank you, Pilar. So I've spoken with David, and I've also spent a lot of time thinking about this. And as long as both Nick and Jacob, because Bennett is not here, are in agreement, we believe that taking out standing committee chairs from any part of that resolution would be a fine amendment, and we are open to it.
Jacob.
Yeah, I think it's a fair compromise. I'd be willing to take out the standing committee clause as long as we can preserve the fact that a presiding officer of one of the constituent assemblies may not serve on the executive board of the university assembly itself.
So if you have agreement, are we putting an official motion to make those amendments in the current resolution?
Yeah, I'll move to the previous question, vote on this.
I'm going to second the motion because it wasn't seconded.
Can we go ahead and vote on the amendments to the resolution? Jacob, is your hand up?
Nope.
Oh, we're just voting? Okay. Casey, can you please make a note of the votes? Please check if you agree with the amendments.
Right. I think Jeff has his hand up.
Jeff, do you have your hand up?
I do, actually. Sorry about that.
Sorry. It's okay. Go ahead.
My question was to line 16 of the resolution, which references standing committee. Should that also be omitted if there was the amendment change?
I'm sorry. I might have missed that. Can I... I'm sorry if it's too late to add that in because I don't think that's a material change, but yes, I meant to take out all references. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I understood. Correct. Yes. Look. So with that change, including line 16.
I wanted to just confirm that I want to make sure that the assembly understood based on the last thing that I said to David, that we were voting to remove standing committee chairship from the entire thing.
Entire resolution, so correct.
Everywhere that it's mentioned, it will be gone. Okay.
Yes. That is what we're voting on. We are removing from the whole resolution an amendment to change and take out all standing committee. Jeff, is that a yes vote? And then just...
No, it's a thumbs up for
okay.
Acknowledging the change. Yeah, thanks.
Okay, if you are voting against it, please mark it in case if you have all the votes.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw differently, but I got 7-0. Oh, okay, then 8-1-0.
8-1-0. Thank you. You can take your votes down. All amendments then have been passed. Brandon, did you have your hand up? David.
Yeah, sorry. I have one more quick amendment, which is just a line to reference the fact that we encourage the assembly to the next year's assembly to consider looking at adopting something like the addendum. I have the language right here. Hopefully we can, I'm sorry to hold us up on this, but I'll hopefully this will be
clear. Can you put the language in the chat for us?
I am doing that, yeah, right now.
Fantastic.
So it says, I didn't copy it correctly. Okay.
And I'll just go and preemptively second that.
Thank you, Nicola.
Okay, amendment to add, resolve that the University Assembly encourages the 2021-22 term assembly to consider the attached bylaw amendment, which aims to strengthen the assembly's oversight over the standing committee's activities or to undertake measures aimed at similar objectives and at line 36.
Thank you, David, for putting that in the chat and also reading out loud. Questions? Or a motion regarding the new amendment?
I move for this amendment.
I'll second. Or I don't know if I can
thank
do
that. Thank you. No, I don't think you can second it. Logan, thank you for the motion. Anyone would like to second?
I'll second it.
Thank you both, Brandon and Nicola. Now we can go ahead and move towards the current amendment as read out by David and written in our chat. Please go ahead and use your buttons. Thank you, Casey. Do you have those numbers? Please go ahead and pull them down. Vote no if.
Quick point of order. Pilar, could you also call for abstentions?
And also vote for abstentions, a call for abstentions as well. Thank you very much. Casey, do you have the totals?
Clarification. Nicola Danoff, did you vote to abstain or for?
Oh, no, I voted in favor.
Okay, then it'd be 12-0-0.
Thank you very much. The amendment has passed. Any further questions to any further amendments, changes? I'm open to any motion to proceed with and vote for this resolution. Nicola?
I'll go ahead and call the question on this.
Second.
Thank you. Thank you, David. Seeing none, we'll move forward with a vote for the fully amended new resolution. Going with how...
Is it okay if we continue with the roll call, Pilar?
That was my next statement. Going with the roll to roll call and vote. Can we please go ahead? Thank you.
Valor Aimer?
Yes.
Ahe Depew?
Yes.
Nicola Danev?
Yes.
David Dunham?
Yes.
Jacob Feit?
Yes.
Brandon Fortenberry?
Yes.
Thomas Fox?
Yes.
David Heiner?
Yes.
Carolyn Levine?
Yes.
Jeff P?
Yes.
Lucas Smith?
Yes.
Charles Van Loon?
Yes.
Pilar Thompson?
I abstain while chairing.
Jessica Withers?
Yes.
And that is 14, one abstain, and Logan Kenny?
With 14, we passed, correct? I can abstain again? Okay, then I abstain, please. Thank you, Casey.
Thank you, Casey. Final call, please. Final total, I believe, 4 pass, 2 abstentions.
I'm sorry, Logan. I think actually... Because we have 15.
I am the tiebreaker. Yes, I vote in favor.
Okay, yes, apologies. Yeah, so then it's 14-4, 1 abstained, 0 against.
Thank you, everyone. With that, the resolution passes. And I hand it back to Logan.
Thanks, Pilar. I actually just realized that I am the next 2 resolutions as well. So if you, Madam Chair, could keep going.
Thank you very much, guys. We'll move that on. Actually, I saw that as well. I was just looking to see. So continuing the agenda, we also have University Resolution 16, calling for veteran support, as well as another UA resolution addendum to Resolution 16. Casey, can you actually go ahead and plug it up? It's easier if it's from US Central. Or put the link as well on the chat. Perfect. That again, as you guys see, that has quite a few sponsors. Those who are sponsoring, if you need to speak or present anything prior to calls to question. Logan.
Thank you, Pilar. So everyone, this is a resolution that came before the assembly and was sent to the Campus Welfare Committee. The Campus Welfare Committee was not able to vote on it. So I am making a motion that this resolution be released from the Campus Welfare Committee and given back to the University Assembly for consideration.
Is there a second?
I'll second
that motion. Yep.
Jacob, I believe you might have beaten David to that one. Charlie, is that, do you have your, I saw you highlighted. No, okay.
And then so that I, motion, if yep. you could just call for unanimous consent or a vote, please.
I think unanimous consent for this one. I call for unanimous consent for this motion to be sent back to the University Assembly and released from the CWC. All those in agreement, any abstentions or please make note. Otherwise, it passes with unanimous consent. Logan.
Thank you for the floor back, Pilar. So everyone, the last time that I presented this to you, I wrote it on my own by talking to a couple of undergraduate veterans, but not by really going out into the community. So I worked with the ad hoc committee through the CWC, and this is an entirely different resolution than Resolution 16 that you had previously seen. This is something that the university faculty, employees, and students have been asking for over a decade. We're just asking for a centralized location where veterans and non-veterans, and also dependents of veterans or military affiliated individuals can kind of congregate on campus and have a sense of community. It's very common on other campuses. The resource centers don't necessarily have to be, I know some people may be afraid of like looking at this and seeing just like big dollar signs. This does not have to be something that we're lobbying the university for a lot of money. We can also be looking at donors, and it's really just to find a centralized space where we can connect the veteran community in a way that it is not currently connected, and also just consistent with a ton of universities. So Cornell is on its game, and we want more veterans to attend, and we treat our vets really well, but this is something that would connect the entire community instead of separating undergrads, grads, professional students, there's not clubs for everyone. And then employees and faculty, you have to like go out of your way. So this would just be like more of a, I want to call it like a home base. And I know that I saw quite a few co-sponsors here. If anybody else wants to add to this, that would be fantastic. Otherwise, I am open to questions.
Jacob, are you asking for a question?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
I don't Deborah, know how to raise I see. My hand.
Yeah, no, Deborah, I see your eyes.
Yeah, so I'm chair of the Cornell Veterans Colleague Network Group, and I don't see us listed on there as a sponsor, and I would really like to have us added.
I would love that.
Thank you, Deborah.
That's a grammatical thing, so if it would be all right, Casey, to add them in, that would be fantastic, and thank you, Deborah.
Thank you, and just use my name as chair.
Okay.
It looks like Deborah's adding that. I mean, Casey's adding that now.
Deborah, to make it easier for Casey, would you be able to put in the chat your title, just since she's following along? And Casey, it goes by alphabetical order. So there's an H section somewhere in there. It would be after Mitchell Hoy.
There you
go. Line 8. Actually, line 9, I'm sorry, before Dakota Johnson. And then, Casey, if you'd like me to read it to you, it's Deborah Howell.
Yes, could you spell that for me?
Yeah, Debra.
Oh my goodness. This is not having the best time.
Oh, this is so confusing on your screen for some reason.
It looks a little.
And Deborah's there last name. Deborah does not have an H, sorry. But Howell is H-O-W-E-L-L, and then put a comma, and then put chair, and then another comma, and then it will be Cornell Veterans Colleague, and it's veterans without an apostrophe, if that's okay. And then colleague has an A before the G.
Yep. Okay, there we go.
And then it's network group.
Oh my goodness. Okay. I think this might be easier in Word rather than.
I know.
Yeah, I think so.
On.
Thank you, Casey.
But it's here in spirit, and then we can change it.
Yeah, I'm happy to. Now that I have the title, I can change it inside Box after. And thank you again, Deborah, and also for the patience while we figured it out.
Here, I can.
Are there any other questions and non-editing concerns that may be coming up regarding the Resolution 16 as well as the amendment presented by Logan? Seeing none, I call to vote.
Point of order. It's not even a point of order, Pilar. If you could just give Jacob a second, he got kicked out and I think he just got.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see him pop out.
He's connecting to audio right now.
Yeah, I see. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, and sorry about that.
No, that's okay. Jacob, I see you're back. Do you have any? I saw you were booted out.
I'm good. I was just putting it on my phone because I need to go get my COVID test.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay, so seeing no questions. Or concerns. Yep, Brandon.
Oh, so can we call the question on this then? I would like to call the question.
Second.
Thank you, Brandon, and thank you, Logan, for your second. We can move this along if we would like to go ahead and move for a vote. Again, as with all the other ones, can we please continue with roll call voting?
All right.
Sorry, Casey, you're working this time.
Valerie Amer?
Yes.
Hey, Depew? Hey, Depew?
Is she still with us?
Sorry, yes?
Yes, okay.
Nicola Danev?
Yes.
David Dunham?
Yes.
Jacob Feit?
Yes.
Brandon Fortenberry?
Yes.
Thomas Fox?
Yes.
David Heiner?
Yes.
Caroline Levine?
Yes.
Jeff P?
Yes.
Lucas Smith?
Yes.
Charles Van Loan?
Yes.
Paula Thompson?
Abstain as chair.
Jessica Withers?
Yes.
Great. And Logan, you're the tiebreaker.
I don't think I'm the tiebreaker because it's a charter, but I'm going to vote yes since I'm not there, and this is a fun experience where I get to vote.
Fantastic. And then that would be 14 for 0 against 1 abstain.
Thank you. That means the resolution passes. Resolution 16 has moved forward. Congratulations, Logan, and all sponsors. Going back to our agenda, we then now move towards new business. And I believe, Logan, you're still on the sidelines as a sponsor. So therefore, I will go ahead and continue my role. Fun times for my last meeting, guys. And I believe we are seeing, we're moving forward with Resolution 27, urgent need for the hiring of a military service-related CAPS counselor. And as you've seen, we are seeing the Resolution 27 shared on our screens at present. Logan, would you like to present
Yes, please. Thank you, Pilar. And I'm not presenting the next one, so I'll go back to chair, and I really appreciate you being chair. So everyone, this one might need a small amount of tweaking for clarity, but that will depend on the reading of it. Military students, faculty, and staff all have like very different and unique experiences that they have that they would talk to a counselor about. I tried to call CAPS. I was not able to get on the phone with anyone. To my knowledge, after doing research online, nobody is listed as a veteran. Nobody's listed as having any sort of military trauma experience on their bios. I went through all of the counselors. So I think that it's imperative that we consider hiring someone who has a specialization either in that area or as a veteran themselves. And this would be a CAPS counselor who would be able to see any member of the community. So it's not cutting off to veterans at all. That's the point that I'm saying. If it's not clear and it makes it seem like this would only be a CAPS counselor for veterans and nobody else, I want to make sure that that's definitely not the case. But based on like the very, very unique experiences that veterans go through, I included the rates of veteran suicide. And I said that Cornell has made great strides in hiring more CAPS counselors, but has not hired a veteran or military trained counselor. I might say we could say to our knowledge, since I can't get a clear cut answer on that. I was on hold for 15 minutes today trying to find that out, and I've emailed. But we have military sexual trauma, which is very, very common. We have PTSD, we have TBI, and then we have a lot of enlisted veterans that are coming straight from service and then going to Cornell and just a bit confused. So I think that we should absolutely lobby the university to direct Cornell Health to hire a counselor that's preferably a veteran and that can address these unique experiences, but then would also be another additional counselor for other students as well, which I know we keep adding more counselors, but I still think that there's a need for more because we still have that 3 to 4 wait period. And it's, I don't think it's the university's fault. I think that we have a lot of students and it's really hard to like have the proper staffing with the space that they have. But now that we're online and have the opportunity for telehealth, I think that it might be easier. So I wanted to push this through. Once again, I'm open to amendments if it's confusing and it seems like this person would only be servicing the veteran community, but it's really just calling for a CAPS counselor that has experience either as a veteran themselves or who has been trained in these types of experiences, so that individuals who have gone through this or family members of individuals who have gone through this, friends, etc., would be able to talk to somebody who would more comfortably understand their needs.
Thank you, Logan. Are you putting an official change as far as to our knowledge so we can make note as to where you're putting
that,
it?
I think that if you're all okay, I would like to do that. I know it's a grammatical thing, so I can do it on the spot, but I said, but has not hired a veteran or military trained to our knowledge right there, Casey, I think would be perfect, where you are on line 32 before the end. So, but has not hired a veteran or military trained counselor to our knowledge. And Pilar, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that since I'm the sponsor, I can make a grammatical change without an amendment, but I'm also happy to move for that.
You're the only, well, you're not the only sponsor. You're the main sponsor. I mean, I see it as just a grammatical.
Okay. If anyone doesn't see that as a grammatical change and wants to vote, I'm happy to make that motion right now. Okay.
Deborah, I know you have a question.
Pilar, I think to be safe, I might make that motion, but Deborah, if your question's different, let me know if I should. Okay. I'm just going to quickly make that motion to add to our knowledge, since I can't prove 100% and it's just based on my own research.
Excuse me, can I ask a quick question on this topic?
Of course.
Patrick, go ahead.
When you mention veteran trained, are you talking specifically about training for veteran issues like PTSD and military trauma?
I believe that's what she's implying, yeah.
That might be better explicitly written within the language.
Okay, I would be happy if you have an area where you feel like that could be added. Would you be able to help present the language to that after I add the to our knowledge part?
No problem.
I'd really welcome that.
No problem.
Thank you, Patrick.
And I see another hand. James, is this specific to the question? And Deborah as well. Are your questions specifically referring to the current changes on the table?
No, mine was a general question about the resolution.
Okay, if you can just wait and hold off while we go ahead and proceed with the current.
If it's okay, Pilar, I'm just going to move that on line 32, we add military trained counselor to our knowledge.
Thank you. And we will move with unanimous, unless there's a question, to the current amendment.
Sorry,
go ahead.
Pilar, I was going to point of order and just say that I need a second for my motion.
I'll second.
Thank you, Brendan. There's a second to the change. Therefore, it passes with unanimous unless there are specific. I see several hands up, but I'm at the moment working off of only the current change to the wording. Seeing none, that current change passes. Now we will move forward with any questions to the resolution as a whole. Deborah, you had your hand up first.
I just would like to be added as a sponsor from the Veterans Colleague Network Group.
Thank you so much, Deborah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah. And we have Deborah's contact and information to be added correctly onto the resolution as seen in the chat. Deborah Howell, Chair, Cornell Veterans Colleague Network Group. Thank you. Then we go back to James. I believe you were next on the speakers. You had a question.
Yeah, so regarding the amendment, is the hiring of more military-trained counselors just because we don't know for sure whether there are currently military-trained counselors, is, you know, hiring more, is it subject to there not being any at the moment? So if it transpires that there are military-trained counselors, does that nullify this, or is it still in effect?
We would, if once we get clarification and there is someone that meets the request of this resolution, therefore they wouldn't need to be hiring someone. They would have to be vocal and clear as to the representation and the services that they would have.
Got it. Thank you.
Pilar, could I respond to that also?
Yes.
I'm now wondering with the body if we feel that there should be a resolve clause that if there is a veteran or military trained specialist, that Cornell publicize that information in a way through CAPS that students would be able to readily figure that out, because I couldn't. So I think that I might be, after Patrick makes his I'm gonna start drafting something also.
Okay. James, does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you to both of you.
Okay, Philip, before I go to you, I'm going to go to Caroline as a voting member. Currently, Caroline, you have your hand up.
I guess I'm just wondering, I'm not sure exactly how to frame my question, but I feel like it's CAPS has a lot of pressure on it already, right? And they're working hard to find counselors. For example, therapists of color are very hard to recruit to Ithaca, and this is a big deal. I'm just wondering what this resolution means exactly. Like, are we are we actually asking CAPS to make this a priority over other kinds of pressures that are on? I'm just, it's not that I in any way want to undermine the resolution. Is it just to put it on the list of priorities, or is it actually to say this is the top priority? And if it is the top priority, are we in some sense undermining others that we don't even know are on their list?
Logan, would you like to answer?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are just trying to be put on the list in general. We don't think that this takes priority over, we don't know what CAPS is currently dealing with in the hiring process, but we believe that this should be something that CAPS and Cornell Health and the administration is looking to also, because as outlined here, veterans and military affiliated individuals have very, very unique experiences. And if there's not an individual who can address those, I think it's imperative that that's one of the individuals that they add to their list of people that they're looking to hire, because it would severely like hinder the veteran community to keep have. I know it's really hard for them to get appointments with the VA, and I think it would just make our entire campus experience better. Well, their campus experience better. And then also a lot of these issues overlap with non-military issues as well. And this CAPS counselor would just be beneficial to the Cornell community in general to be specialized in this area, in these areas.
You know, I could probably provide a little bit more context on this to help. During my time as the CUVA president, I had two different veterans go to the Cornell Health for counseling services. And the counseling services told them that they were not equipped to deal with the type of therapy that they would need, and that they needed to be referred to the VA, in which case they had to wait anywhere from 30 to 45 days to get an appointment with the VA because of the backlog in the system.
I can speak personally to that. I had the same situation.
Caroline, does that answer your questions? Clarifies your point? Okay. Perfect. Philip, I believe you've had your hand up. Would you like to make a comment in regards to the general resolution?
Yes, I would. Thank you. I wanted to also address that as I, for this semester, I had to withdraw and take a health leave of absence, and CAPS does not have anyone who is trained to deal with military trauma, who's familiar with military trauma, or a veteran. I know this now firsthand. Also, Mary Fisk can confirm that. She knows that for sure. If you want to get a definitive answer, you can just talk to Mary. And also, to further say, I think this is very important because that is one of the only reasons I have not reached out to CAPS, because the counselors cannot even begin to understand where I'm coming from. Our type of experiences and trauma and what it may be, it's very unique. And if the counselors they have right now just really don't know where to begin to even try and deal with it. Like, if I'm talking to them about having flashbacks of tanks blowing up houses, they don't even know how to begin to talk to me about it.
Thank you, Philip.
My two cents about the issue.
Logan, did you have a response to that, to Philip's comments? If not, I can defer to Valerie, who is a voting member, has a question.
Just a quick response to Philip, if that's all right.
Yep.
So Philip, when I added that CAPS does not have a counselor to our knowledge, are you then positive that CAPS does not currently have a veteran or military trained counselor at all?
I am positive, but if you want to give, like, I think Mary can confirm that, and the answer coming from Mary will have more authority than me because I'm a mere student and she's actually.
I'm wondering now if we should take that line out, because I don't think it hurts to have to our knowledge in there, but it appears based on Philip's conversations with Mary and personal experiences, and also what Patrick said, that there is not a counselor. So I just wanted to add that in case we wanted to take that language out. I put information out if there is someone. So let me know if you want that.
Thank you, Logan. Valerie?
So I was curious, is there any reason why we couldn't suggest that they have more than one counselor with that sort of training? If only because just because we have one does not mean that that person will connect well with all the veterans that may need assistance, and to have more than one on staff. So suggesting maybe that CAPS attempt to have at least one.
I think. Thank you, Valerie. Are you making like official motion to add some additional comments and or regarding the number of counselors that CAPS should focus on?
I would like to, I think. Never done it before, but I will try.
Is there a second with Valerie's or an additional individual
there
who wants to try out?
Strong second. Thank you, Valerie. I just put one because I thought it was a long shot, but I think adding at least is absolutely perfect. Because then we open the door asking for potentially more. And I think more than one, I know personally from therapy that you don't always work well with your first therapist. So I think that's really important.
Logan, are you making a motion of an amendment that we can therefore read, see, and or vote on?
Yeah, I think that where Casey is right now, Valerie, if you're okay with it being there, the hiring of at least one CAPS counselor?
Yes, I think so.
So then, Pilar, I think that that would be Valerie's motion, and I would have been the second on that.
Yes, Valerie, can you confirm that that is your motion to the amendment as updated by Casey?
That is my...
On line.
Yes.
Line 54. Line Logan.
I'm sorry, can I point of order? And on line 58, can we also add at least one? Anything.
Valerie, those both approve?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And then strong.
And point of order, Logan, are you the second for both changes in line 54 as well as line 58?
Yes, please.
Can we move with a unanimous vote to, well, call to question for the current two changes on the resolution as presented by Valerie and seconded by Logan? Seeing none, I vote that we move unanimous consent to the current two changes. Any questions, abstentions, or votes against the two changes? Seeing none, those two pass and are now part of the resolution. Brandon, I believe you have your hand up.
Yeah, I would like to make a motion to add what I've put into the chat here, be it also resolved that in the event that Cornell University currently employs a counselor trained in veteran or military counseling, that CAPS work with the veteran organizations in the university to inform the Cornell community. This would address that if there is somebody who is trained and we aren't aware, that we are asking the university to provide better information to those veteran organizations as a resource.
Thank you, Brendan. Do we have a second?
I second.
Thank you, Valerie. Casey, can you then add the new be it for the resolve? There you go.
Okay. Line 53. I have a discussion if that's all right.
Yep. Logan.
Brandon, would you be open to currently employs a veteran or counselor trained, somehow put a veteran in there also in that language, just because we're also open to a veteran themselves.
And I think that works well.
I'm trying to figure out where it fits in. Seamus,
I think that works well.
I think Casey put it there, line 53.
Perfect. Sorry to interrupt again.
So Brendan's point and new amendment, line 53, with the corrections by Logan. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any questions regarding the current amendment? If not, we will move forward with a call to unanimous vote. Oh, Philip, do you have a comment? You are not a standing member, but do you have a comment on this amendment?
I have a comment on this amendment, also on the previous one that is already voted on. I just wanted to add that on the previous one about the Veterans Center, that will also provide us more of the mental support we need, just as a place to go and sit down with other veterans if we need to vent and talk and get advice. That will also provide, it'll be, so the, it'll have multiple positive externalities and help us also with mental health, just as a place to go and speak to fellow veterans for mental and emotional support as well.
Thank you, Philip, for those comments. At the present, we are still moving forward with the current amendment through lines 53 through 55. Any questions regarding the current amendments? I move to Pilar, unanimous. Yep. Go Pilar. Ahead. Sorry. I was going through all the other hands.
No, it's okay. I'm going to ask that we consider moving it to below the "be it therefore resolved" because this isn't the main crux of it, and that it just says "resolved" rather than "be it also resolved" to stay consistent with university assembly resolutions, and then take away either the first "that" or the second "that."
I'm sorry, could you say that one more time?
Yeah, Casey, if you post it right there, I can tell you again.
On line 56.
Yeah. And then put it down. Yeah, so instead of "be it also resolved," it would just say "resolved" with a capital R and not have the "be it also." And then I'm requesting that Brandon consider taking out either the first "that" or the second "that."
I'm good with either of those "that's" being gone.
Oh, no. I'm going to say "resolve that" in the event. Take out the second one.
Yeah, that one. There you go.
Okay, sorry. And I think that that reads really well because it calls on the question and then has that. So thank you, Brandon.
Nicola.
I'd like to move the question on Brandon's amendment to call the question.
Thank you, Nicola. Second?
Second.
Perfect. Seeing a second, we can now therefore vote with the new amendment on line 57 as now written in the shared screen down to 59 with a unanimous consent. Any abstentions or denials or noes? Seeing none. The amendments to the resolution as stated currently passes. Logan.
Yeah, I'm just going to quickly ask if Patrick has language or an idea of the language that he was proposing before any vote happens.
Absolutely, I do. So one of the things that's important is that the veterans be able to get whatever therapy they need on campus. And usually these therapies are a specific type. So the, just a moment, I have to look up the exact language.
Thank you, Patrick. And so, if you possibly could, if you could possibly know, once you have the wording, if you could possibly put it in the chat, that would make it easier for us for record keeping and consistency as well.
Absolutely. Because what we want to get after is really, we want people not only with the training, but the experience of doing, the therapies such as like cognitive processing, that veterans do or PTSD and have actual experience doing this so that they have the capacity to help veterans in the clinic. But that's the language that I'm basically looking for is trading experience with, you know, demanding evidence-based therapy. I'll just type that in for you.
Thank you. And any recommendation as to specific line or placement would be appreciated, I believe, by Logan as well. Logan.
Pilar, I would like to motion to move to resolution 28 and give Patrick time to draft this and go back to resolution 27 after resolution 28 has been brought to the floor.
Any second?
I'll second that.
Thank you.
Thank you. And that's okay, Patrick. Moving that along then, Logan, the floor is yours until we come back to resolution.
Yeah, thanks, Pilar.
27.
All right, so I am Pilar, I mean Casey, if you could stop sharing your screen, please. Thank you. Okay, so our next resolution is resolution 28. I am a sponsor, but not the primary sponsor, and Seamus Murphy is going to be presenting this resolution. Seamus, let me know if you need anything from me before you go. I think you want to share your screen, correct? You're muted. You're still muted. I'll unmute you.
I got it.
Okay. Wait, Seamus, I muted you on accident.
All right, I can't win. Get a nickel for every time you heard that. Appreciate y'all for having me. Seamus Murphy here, class of 2017, founder of CUBA, current secretary of the newly founded Cornell Military Network. I'm here today to bring this resolution to the floor. It's calling for the university to define and amend its process and procedure for certification and enrollment of student veterans with the Department of Veteran Affairs to ensure transparency and accountability in the process. And then additionally, we'd like to kind of have them, the university, agree to abide by these 8 keys to veteran success as laid out by the Obama White House, and also become a signatory of the Principle of Excellence program. And from my understanding, just to start with the end there, these are 2 things that we're actually working on. I think it's more just a mechanical or procedural formality to start to actually get recognition for those meeting those standards. But to go back to the first top parts, really looking, there's been, since I got to campus, there's been a issue with veterans getting their entitlements or benefits in a timely manner. This has led to kind of pain points. I know for me personally, and every year since then, pain points for student veterans who come to campus and do not in an expedient manner or on time get their benefits, which they count on for feeding and housing themselves during their time at Cornell. This is really just, it boils down to, I have a slide to articulate this, but from my understanding, this boils down to a lack of kind of identified processes in place by the kind of decentralized university to certify the enrollment of student veterans on campus in a timely manner. So what happens is at before classes start, the students are registered for class, registered to attend, and they're not certified and enrolled with the VA till some point after the semester starts. And what happens is there's a line that builds up because it's first come, first serve based on when the school submits the packet. This leads to folks sometimes get too, I mean, I almost November by the time I got my educational benefits at one point. My father, just a sidebar, came to my apartment, saw half-eaten ramen and a little bit of milk, and thought I was on drugs. I had to tell him that I hadn't had any sources of income in that period of time, and was kind of in some dire straits. So that was an interesting conversation to have. I know that's not a unique situation either. So really looking for the university to identify it. And can I share my screen?
You should be good to share now, Seamus.
All right. So we really just want them to identify the kind of process and procedures which they utilize to certify the enrollment. And what that's going to do is it's going to be an accountability mechanism to drive change. So it identifies and holds process owners accountable, and also identifies opportunities to improve approach. If the approach is actually articulated, it's not a muscle memory or word of mouth, we can improve upon what's in place and provide the most efficient service to the student veterans receiving benefits. And this allows for a more efficient and agile organization. And then another part about this resolution is the advantages of a consolidated list of VA benefits. So right now there are a lot of benefits out there for veterans. They do exist on the veterans.cornell.edu website, but it's not a mutually exclusive, collectively exhaustive list, which leads to some pain points. That being said, having a consolidated document, which would be provided yearly at an interval of the university's choosing, I would hope around the beginning of the academic year, would allow incoming student veterans and current student veterans to be aware of the opportunities and the resources available to them. And this will maximize, their usage of those resources. It also, by creating a list, will identify gaps in the current process, in current resources, because once you start to identify a list of must-haves, once that's articulated, you'll be able to see where those gaps are and improve upon them. To go off Phil's point and going off the general theme here, it alleviates the stress of navigating a disjointed support structure. So having a single source of truth for high value information would really help kind of students as they come onto campus or come back to campus to navigate, made large bureaucracies, as in Cornell, the VA, any sort of other governmental organization, and it also supports onboarding new students. And then the last part about this resolution is the certification of enrollment. As you can see right here, I recommended that we start to certify 90 days out. I think that could be changed to a shorter time period. But just 90 days to articulate that there is no time limit for certification of enrollment for student veterans once they're kind of already matriculated into the university. So this could be something that could happen, almost as you can see, as soon as classes end, because they've already kind of pre-registered for classes. There's a pain point here around amending student veterans benefits. That would just have to be articulated to the student veterans that if they change the amount of semester hours, which they are current, that they plan on taking, that there might be a deduction to their future benefits based on monies received under the let's say increased semester hour or rate they would get. So really it's calling for these kind of three things, right? And also kind of then to, it's calling to then sign up for these programs which provide national recognition for colleges that are exceeding and meeting the standard. And I know I've droned on for a bit, so shut up. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Seamus. And this is really impressive also. I like your graphics quite a bit. Nick, floor is yours.
I wanted to thank Seamus for his presentation and for really explaining the problem and the potential solutions to us, especially people that had no idea about all of these things. So just expressing my support, and if there's no one else that wants to contribute to the discussion, I'll call the question unless there's a discussion.
I'll second the motion to call the question. I think this is very well detailed and straightforward.
Thank you. So we've got the motion out by Nick, seconded by David. Is there any discussion? All right, fantastic. Casey, I'm going to ask that you call the roll call vote, and please keep me last.
I have a motion. So I'd like to move to change the method of voting because we're falling behind schedule. So if we could just do the check marks at this point, I think that would be okay. Preferable.
I'll also second that.
I'm just going to ask then that people do it as soon as they're ready. Somebody already pressed, I'm going to wait until that person puts it down because we don't get a correct count. So once that yes disappears, I'm going, when I tell you all to vote yes, please all do it right then, or else we get an inaccurate vote. So Casey, are you ready for this game of checking the yeses?
Yes.
Okay. See. Okay, so all in favor, please check yes now. Okay. 13 yeses. Are there any no's? Please press the red button if so. And then abstentions, please press the green button. And then David, I see your hand up.
Are sorry, you... I hit that on accident.
Oh no, did you vote late?
No. I voted yes, I voted yes.
Okay, so that Casey, I believe passed again. All right, and then, Patrick is ready to go. So I'm gonna hand chairship back over to Pilar and get back into, actually, I am going to ask somebody to move to extend this meeting to 6:15.
I will motion to move the meeting to 6:15.
Or early.
A second.
All right, and I'm going to do this by unanimous consent. Anyone opposed? All right, we'll keep going. So, Pilar, Madam Chair, it's yours.
We're back to UA Resolution 27. Casey, can you please put that back up into the shared screen so we can move that forward? And Patrick, thank you for the wording that we see in the chat here. Logan, as you were leading the discussion.
Yeah, Patrick, would you please let me know what line you would like that to be in?
Sorry, I'm actually doing this on my phone, so it's very small.
Oh, that's tough. Okay. Kudos to you. I think it's going to be in the resolved clauses. So calls on... who is trained, so I think it'll be in the be it therefore resolved, the University Assembly calls on the administration to support the hiring of at least one individual with both the training and experience providing cognitive behavioral therapy, cognitive processing therapy, and prolonged exposure therapy to U.S. combat veterans. Actually, I think that it would, Casey, actually be after that one, we would do another resolved. And then say this individual would be trained in, would have training and experience, and then the rest of the language, if Patrick is okay with that.
Yeah, I think that's great. It just puts it very explicit. That's exactly what they need
to be able to do that job. This individual would have training. And then I agree with Seamus, if you're okay with that change, Patrick, that it not say U.S. veterans and it just say combat veterans.
Yes.
Okay. And then, Casey, if after veterans, you could put a semicolon and then write end. And then... A-N-D, sorry, that I do that too. And then if you could do that for the bottom resolved one as well.
Logan, I don't know if you saw the comments added by Nicola in the chat.
No.
This individual or individuals.
Okay, I agree with that. So resolved this individual, comma, maybe, or individuals, comma.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then Casey, if after the second resolved on line 63, you also put the semicolon and end. Okay. So I am not chair. I'm going to move that we adopt these
amendments.
These amendments to
second.
The resolution. Okay. Seconded.
Seconded for the current amendments being placed in the new resolve clause from 57 to 59. Any questions regarding the current amendments? Otherwise, I call. Oh, yep, Philip, you have a comment or additional?
Yes, wouldn't the wording combat veterans potentially exclude veterans that their trauma does not stem from combat? For example, a veteran that was raped during their service on United States soil?
Well, I mean, if they're trained in combat, then they'll be trained in all of those issues because those are things that happen also in combat.
My point is that if we say combat, then maybe veterans that their trauma did not stem from combat will feel excluded from it.
Thank you, Philip. Is there a possible addition or amendment to the wording as presented in order to address the thoughts that Philip has raised? You're muted, Logan.
Sorry, I'm reading it to myself.
Oh.
What you could do is you could put traumatic experiences instead of combat veterans who've undergone traumatic
experiences. Patrick, another idea is two veterans and then put in parentheses, especially combat veterans.
Yeah, that's good. Sorry, I can't see the text line.
I don't think you should call out. I don't mean to be a curmudgeon here, but I think trauma is trauma. Whether it's a car accident or a combat, I mean, it's different, but I mean, it does
kind of. Camus, what are you proposing?
I just would strike. I don't think there should be any call out for combat. I mean,
so just the word veterans?
I mean, so that's undergone trauma. I mean,
I like what Denisha just wrote in the chat.
Trauma to veterans.
Yeah.
Thanks, Denisha.
Logan, does that represent your wording amendment as written and currently highlighted on the screen? Nicola, you have your hands up.
Yeah, I think that syntactically doesn't make sense.
So yeah, I agree. There's something grammatically.
What Bob Platt is saying and change 2 to 4.
4, yes. Thank you, Bob. Is this grammatically correct? Can everyone give this a read over and let me know if this is grammatically correct?
Logan, I just want you to point to the comment by Charlie. It's not in reference to the comment, but he will be leaving the meeting at 6 p.m.
Charlie, did you read your resolution at least?
Charlie left.
No!
He's gone. I just saw that. Sorry.
Okay, we're going... Okay.
We can write him a message later on. I apologize for those on Resolution 27. We had a resolution associated to the individual who's just left the meeting.
I'll send it to him after. Okay. Would everybody be able to read lines 57 to 59? Okay. Would have training and experience for veterans. Okay. I like that. Would have training.
Modesty not.
For veterans exposed to trauma. For veterans who have been exposed to trauma. Or veterans, yeah.
I think that makes sense. I'll second that.
Who have experienced trauma?
Thank you, David.
David, do you like experienced or been exposed to?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Okay, he's leaving it up to me. I'm going to say experienced.
Okay, thank you everyone for the... Jacob, your hand is up.
Yeah, I just have a quick question. I'm not a veteran, so I don't know the correct way to word this, and I'd, of course, default to veterans here. However, I feel like you can still have experienced trauma if you didn't experience the trauma firsthand. Say, perhaps a friend of yours in training or a family member or something like that, and especially when we talk about students who are dependents of service members. There is certainly, I'm sure, trauma that perhaps a parent or sibling may have experienced that is affecting their mental health as well, that we also should consider.
Thank you, Jacob. Nicola.
Do Can we just say for veterans, and then it encompasses all the veterans?
I second
on that. Line 59.
I had for that line, therapy for individuals who have experienced military-related trauma to include everyone, if people are open to that.
The amendment is, any second on the current line as drafted and highlighted currently?
Are you okay with that? Because this is, I just amended yours.
Yeah, that's fine. The most important part for me is the having the three types of EBT therapy in there.
So it's okay with you. I just wrote for individuals who have experienced military-related trauma so that we can also include family members, dependents, et cetera.
Jacob.
Okay.
Yeah, I am defaulting completely to folks who have served because I simply just do not know. I'm just bringing up, you know, other facets of the issue for discussion's sake. So whatever veteran students and alumni are wanting to propose.
Thank you, Jacob. At the moment, we have the current amendment as highlighted and stated on line 59. Do we have a second for this wording?
Seconded.
Thank you, Nicola.
I'd like to call the question.
Second.
Thank you. That has been moved forward. Can we vote unanimous vote? I call it unanimous vote for the current amendment as stated and highlighted in line 59. Any abstentions and or reasons to decline the current amendment? Seeing none, the current amendment line 59 stands to move forward and is approved. Nicola.
I move to vote on the resolution.
Second.
Thank you, Nicola, for the move and the second. Logan, we will move forward with our votes in the green check. We will do it slowly in order to give Casey and the Office of Assemblies time to register the votes. I ask you to go to your reactions and vote green if you are voting yes. Yes.
I'm sorry. Before we vote, I just want to ask Deborah if she wants... She didn't mention, and I don't want to put her on the spot, but she wanted to co-sponsor everything. I wanted to just give her the opportunity. I don't know if she's here.
Thank you. I'm here.
Yeah.
No, I will wholeheartedly endorse.
Okay. Thank you. I didn't want to leave you out.
Thank you so much. You I too. Wish I could vote, and I can't, but.
No, I'm glad to have you as a co-sponsor. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you, Deborah. With that last addition, we'll just make a final adjustment to the additional sponsor prior to voting. That again, we'll see Deborah as her chair position under the veterans. Now, if we can please move forward to your green buttons, and if you are voting for Resolution 27, please press your green button yes now. Okay, I see most of our UA members. Casey, do you have those green yeses?
Yeah, 13.
Thank you. Please take those green buttons down. If you wish to abstain, once we've seen those cleaned, please go ahead and put your green button at the moment if you wish to abstain. Nicola and Jacob. Nicola, you're abstaining? No. Okay.
Pilar, perfect. Point of order, are you abstaining as chair again?
Yes. That's okay. What, sorry. I just was making sure I am abstaining as chair. There it is. One abstention. Perfect. Any no's, please press your red button at present. Otherwise, Casey, please give us a final count.
Pass with 13-0-1.
Thank you, Casey. This resolution 27 passes. Thank you all for co-sponsors and the team for the last minute edits as we push through our last day of work. I pass the chairship back to Logan.
Thank you again, Pilar. I didn't realize how much you would be chairing the meeting. And I want to thank all of the veterans and allies and student leaders that have worked with me, that this has been a very long process, and I'm really glad that these were able to come to the University Assembly. I'm going to keep us moving. I think that we should be able to adjourn by 6:15. So resolution 29, which is thanking the Dean of Faculty, Charles Van Loan, for outstanding service to shared governance. I was going to give him a nice sappy like intro too. So it's a bit of a shame that he left, but just for the people that don't know Charlie, it started off with me and Charlie debating quite a bit on the floor, then seeing eye to eye, then working just really well together. And Charlie has taught me so much about shared governance and has been unbelievably selfless in everything that he does and dedicates way more time than anyone that I could have ever imagined would dedicate to his job. And I am going to so happily pass the floor to David Dunham, who is the primary sponsor of this next resolution.
Charlie, thank you. I introduce the resolution. I can't say anything else. It's self-explanatory. We all know, and he's been really great for me as a leader, and I think for all of us. And I'll pass this on to him in writing later. Yeah.
Nick, I'm sorry, I didn't see your hand.
Charlie's been amazing, and because of that, I'd like to call the question, and I'd like to thank him on my behalf as well.
Second that.
All right, so called by Nick, seconded by David. Is there any discussion about this resolution thanking the lovely Charlie for his work as he's retiring? Retiring as Dean of Faculty. Seeing none, I am going to ask that we all cast our votes now, please. All right, are there any no's? And then I'm going to call for abstentions. All right, that will pass unanimously. Casey, I believe, I don't know how many of us are here, but we all voted yes. So I think it was 14-0. Okay. So yeah, I want to echo what Jacob just wrote in the chat about Charlie. He will certainly be missed, and he has done an outstanding job on the University Assembly and as Dean of Faculty and just to the entire campus community. There's no one like Charlie. And thank you, David, for being the primary drafter and writer of that. And thank you to the co-sponsors as well. And then I'm going to keep it with David for resolution 30, which is just going to be very quick.
Yeah, so I think that I'm going to rescind this and not introduce it because there were some questions earlier about whether all the constituent assemblies had had a chance to elect UA representatives, but it seems like everyone is here. And at this point, also, you've all been with us through this this regular meeting. So I think it's good to go ahead with the organizational meeting after adjourned. But if someone else wants to take it up and they want another date, then they can do so. But I won't introduce it. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, David.
Yeah.
For cutting you off. Lucas.
Yeah, I think that certainly based on the list we saw this afternoon, we are prepared to go ahead. But I would say that the student assembly, we have races that are unresolved, most notably our president. So we haven't conducted organizational meetings to actually appoint student assembly representatives that'll be able to serve the full term. Right now, there's two of us that are in term per se. Yeah, I just put that out there. I don't know if people's thoughts on that, it would be helpful to wait, but certainly in another week or two, we should have a meeting and have that kind of stuff cleared up. But
So, David, I don't know how you feel about that, but that makes me want you to introduce the resolution on the floor, because we were given information that the essay would be filled by two individuals and the executive vice chair. And if that's not the case, then I stand by the resolution that David and I brought forward.
Let me hear from Valerie first.
Yeah, Valerie.
So mine is a little bit of a selfish reason. I have to give a final tonight. At 7. So if the organizational meeting goes long, I'm going to have to jump out, and that might have an effect on the actual elections. So my little bit of selfishness to call it for another time.
So, David, I'm going to ask that you reconsider and that you reintroduce Resolution 30.
All right, well, this, I'll reintroduce it for the, so that we can discuss it and decide on it. But yeah, so go ahead. If someone wants to second it and have the organizational meeting on another date.
I'm going to move. Actually, no, I'm chairing currently.
Yeah.
I'm going to recommend that somebody move to pass Resolution 30, which would postpone the elections for 1 week from today. So they would be 4:30 p.m. next Tuesday.
It would be 2 weeks by its current form. Yeah.
Oh, it would be 2 weeks.
Yeah, but that's something we can discuss.
Because everybody would be in finals. Okay, so it would be 2 weeks from today on May 25th, which would be the last day of finals for the undergraduate students. We didn't want to have it be a date that was in the middle of finals, and we felt like 2 weeks was enough for the one faculty slot to be filled and then the president to be resolved and the two SA members. Valerie, do you still have your hand up for a question? Okay. So hearing from Lucas and then also knowing that Valerie feels that she would not be able to appropriately, I don't want to say appropriately because Valerie can always appropriately represent, but if she's not there, then she can't adequately represent her constituent group. It sounds like since we had to have a meeting today that this organizational meeting is not necessarily in the best interest. David.
So how many of the new SA representatives are here today? Because I saw a comment that those people are actually here. So can I hear from, I think it was Jacob who said that.
It was Lucas.
Or Lucas.
Yeah, so the directly elected members of the undergraduate population, both of those two, right, are already seated. That election's been confirmed. But I guess at this point, right, our president race is not resolved, right? So the EVP, our executive vice president, I think is here for the upcoming academic year. So would be able to serve as the presiding officer. But I guess the positions such as myself that are from the student assembly body, the two selected individuals, that were at this point just people that were just kind of like, we'll do it. There was nothing, you know, kind of like election or like a consensus from the student assembly as a whole that we are the two individuals that should serve as the representatives for the group.
So how many SA members are eligible to vote at least in, or is it three out of five who are here?
No, a point of order. There are five SA people who are eligible to vote today and are present today.
I'm going to ask Lucas a question. Lucas, your appointment, if you were elected to a position, is there a chance that you would not serve as the SA representative since there's an election that has not happened?
Yeah, I guess, and I know I'm seeing some other comments and stuff coming to me in the chat. I guess the only reason I raise this is just because it's unusual, and I didn't see this resolution, of course, until the agenda came out today, and when I saw it that things might be postponed, I saw that as being a better option than going forward without. Yeah, and I think I don't know. There is five people here. The election could happen just fine. The organizational meeting could happen just fine. That was just my two cents. The student assembly, in theory, hasn't come to a consensus on who two of our representatives are going to be.
Yeah. So Lucas, my main question then maybe I didn't word it well. You would not, if you wanted to run for a position, would you be precluded from running for a position because you're technically only interim right now until there's an official election?
That's a great question. I don't know. So if you were to run for a position, there's a chance even then that you, at the student assembly meeting, you wouldn't necessarily be selected to be the UA representative of the student assembly. So in theory, so
you could in theory be elected as any position on the e-board or a chair, and then the SA might not re-elect you, is what I'm trying to ask.
Re-elect, the terminology. Yeah. That's why I would be in
favor. As chair, I fully support Resolution 30 because I think that the undergraduate students are at a disadvantage right now with not having a president and with two members being interim and who would not be able to keep their seats. And we also have one faculty member. So I don't see the harm in 2 weeks since this executive board holds over until May 31st. And also, we are the ones that set the organizational meeting, so I think that we have the power to extend the organizational meeting, and I'm sorry for Kale. Brandon?
Point of order, so is this resolution on the floor for a call to question to be able to be called, or has it been not yet? Do we need to bring it to the floor?
David, have you officially brought
it? It's on the floor. It's because I'm not sure if someone seconded it yet or not. I think we jumped right into discussion. So if someone seconded it, then we can have an open discussion.
I would like to second it. And in light of the number of attendees and the very healthy conversation tonight around some very important topics that have led us to be a little bit late, I would call the question on this particular resolution because I feel that it is the right thing to do at this time.
Is there a second to Brandon's motion to push through Resolution 30 and have our elections in 2 weeks?
I'll second the motion. I do have, actually, never mind. I'll just second it.
Okay. Genevieve.
Oh, sorry. This was about having the vote today, but since it's already been seconded, I don't see the point in talking then.
It's okay. This is open for discussion, so any motion on the floor can actually be rescinded. So you're free. Yeah, please feel free to speak your mind.
Yeah, because I'm wondering if we have the election today. I mean, Jacob and the other person, they're already elected. And so the other two people who aren't elected is Lucas and Claudia. And the whole reason why they're interim is to have that voting power. And so unless they're running for an e-board position, I don't see why we can't go ahead and call the elections today. I don't think Claudia is running for a position. I don't think Lucas is running for a position. Therefore, there's no point in pushing it back if the only concern is that they will run for the position and then not get elected by SA, if that makes sense.
Yeah, thank you for that point. My point is that if they're not reelected to the SA, through the SA and new members come that want to run for positions, we're putting them at a huge disadvantage right now. If it's not Claudia and it's not Lucas who come through the SA, yes, voting power exists currently. But if it's two individuals who would have wanted to run, then they're out of luck because the elections happened without them.
But they don't want to run, though.
But they're interim right now. They might not. It might be two different individuals who end up in front of the university assembly in 2 weeks. Brandon and then Jacob.
Yeah, I think the concern there would be if those two individuals weren't on the UA and the two who took their place were folks that wanted to run for positions, you would, as the student assembly, would lose that ability to have representation in those positions. Perhaps it's a question that we can't have an answer to. And if I can get clarification from a faculty standpoint, how many of our faculty, appointed faculty members are here as well? I think that also impacts us. And being able to ensure everyone has representation.
I'm here, but I'm not sure who else maybe.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm going to have to go shortly.
Yeah.
I'm still here for a little while.
I'm here.
We have two and Valerie needing to leave soon. I think, again, in light of that, I strongly support delay of this.
Jacob.
Thank you.
Sorry, there's three faculty members present.
Yeah, I think Brandon's point was that Valerie has a final at 7, so she would have to miss out on part of the elections. Jacob.
Yeah, well, first of all, I think that we've discussed to the point where
it's running a little bit late now, and I think that the time for us to hold the elections is kind of past. However, I do apologize to the interim folks who are here, as well as the incoming executive vice president to the student assembly, because they were under the impression that we would vote today. I just do have one point of order. However, due to having served previously on the student assembly, I do know that the student assembly oftentimes holds their organizational meetings in the fall in order to wait for freshman representatives to be elected. So would this I'm not sure that this necessarily would do much because they would be holding those concrete elections to elect new representatives or liaisons rather from the SA to the UA in the fall semester. If Lucas, you want to clarify on that, I'm not.
Yeah. So we've held it in the fall this past year because our elections were a mess this past year, but in a typical year, they're in the spring, usually in April. So we're on track per se. We usually do this organizational stuff, most of them in the spring.
Got you. Yes, you are correct. As a matter of fact, I do remember now me and you serving as early sophomores. So I remember that now. Yes, you're correct.
All right. Thank you both. Yeah. Typically, in my experience, except for last year, all five representatives of the student assembly have been at the organizational meeting, and all five representatives have been elected or appointed by each of the bodies. This resolution gives the Faculty Senate the ability to fill their last slot, and it gives the student assembly the ability to figure out the situation with their president and then elect or appoint the two individuals who will permanently be on the UA, and will give them the opportunity to potentially run for a position. Nick, your hand's up, and Jacob, your hand's up too. You're second if it's okay.
So I was just gonna say, what happens if the SA doesn't have a meeting and doesn't have people appointed? Are we going to have to postpone again, or can we agree that we're postponing?
The elections will happen on May 25th.
Also, just as a current member of the UA, I really want to apologize to the five people from the GPSA that have been patiently waiting to vote today.
Yeah, and I want to thank everyone that is new to the University Assembly for watching a very long meeting. Meetings are not always this long. We don't always have this many amendments, and co-sponsors are usually about five people rather than 25. So this is not typical, and we thank you so much for your service on the University Assembly. And this has not gone through yet, so this could fail. But if the elections don't happen, I'm sorry. I hope that this was a good experience to see how the University Assembly has functioned, and it gives you time to think about whether you would run for a position. And if elections do happen, you will see me again chairing. David.
I called a previous question on.
So yes, there is a vote to be had. Is discussion over? This has technically been a period of discussion. All right, I know we're over time now, but I am going to ask Casey to call this roll call because this is a little more controversial.
Valerie Amer?
Yes.
Nicola Dana?
Abstain.
David Dunham?
No.
Jacob Fite?
Abstention.
Brendan Fortenberry?
Yes.
Thomas Fox?
Abstain.
David Heiner?
Yes.
Carolyn Levine?
Yes.
Jeff P? Lucas Smith?
Yes.
Pilar Thompson?
Yes.
Jessica Withers?
Yes.
Logan Kenny? And that would be 6 yeses, 3 abstentions, and 1 no.
Can you tell me whether it passes without my vote?
7 yeses, 3 assertions, 1 no. And because it's 7, 3, 1, we would pass if you abstained, I believe, correct? Because it's the majority.
Okay, so I'm going to abstain and it's going to pass. And we will be holding our elections on May 25th, 2021 at 4:30 p.m. I will use my gavel then again. I'm really sorry, everyone, for going beyond the 6:15 and not calling for an official extension of the meeting. Once again, I really want to welcome everyone that's new, and I am really, really sad to say goodbye to the 2020/2021 University Assembly, and I cannot express how thankful I am for each and every one of you. You've made this year, which has been very troubling, amazing. So I'm giving an applause for all of like the amazing work that we've done. I think 30 resolutions is absolutely incredible, and I will see you all around. Thank you to everyone who's coming back to the UA. I'm very proud to see so many names returning. And with that, I am going to open the floor for the last motion to adjourn. Oh, sorry. That was on accident. We're not adjourned.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
I second.
Any abstention? All right, seeing none, 6:27 p.m. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.